It is possible that someone could have received chemotherapy previously and still does not, that the AML is not, quote, therapy related. How do you differentiate sort of the presentation?
We really don't have an easy way to know this. It would be nice to look at the flow pattern, the genetics, or something, but we really know that if we look at patients who have leukemia following prior therapy, we see enrichment for certain genotypes, but they're not 100%. The ones I worry about are patients who have evidence of aneuploidy, so lots of chromosomal abnormalities, particularly deletions and monosomies. Those patients often have mutations in p53 or a deletion in p53, which predicts a very poor outcome with any therapy, no matter what we give them. And those patients, we always try to get a transplant, even though we know, even when we transplant these patients, they have a high rate of relapse after transplant. So it's an imperfect approach, but it really is the only therapy associated with long-term survival. So these patients who have what we call a monosomal karyotype, which means they've got at least a monosomy of an autosomal chromosome or a p53 deletion or a mutation at a complex karyotype, those patients do very poorly with standard approaches. They really should be referred for transplant evaluation early in disease because if they ever relapse, we almost never get good control of their disease thereafter. And if this were a patient, as described in this case, who had prior anthracycline-based therapy, and I would think would be a risk for getting additional anthracycline in a way that might complicate getting a transplant at all, I would reasonably err on the side of giving a hypomethylating agent-based strategy. And these days, we're pretty much not using hypomethylating agent alone. We're using them with venetoclax. There's very few patients that I would give an HMA, hypomethylating agent, alone. I would generally give it with venetoclax based on the single-arm data that shows substantially higher remission rates and really quite good survival long-term and protection from relapse. I think we need to wait for the randomized study to say it's evidence-based, but the available experience-based data as well as the publications is really quite promising, and my experience has been exactly as the papers show. The regimen works, it's well tolerated, and it can be done in the outpatient setting once you have ensured that the patient doesn't have tumor lysis in the first few days, which is a risk, not a big risk, but it does exist.